We are back with a new schedule, because now we're going to do our recap separate from our previews. We're going to go 2 episodes per week. So welcome everyone to the Where Eagles Dare podcast on a Victory Monday. So we're pretty happy up in here. So without any further ado, why don't we just get right into it and let the music play. You know, I like playing the song. I really do on a Victory Monday. And this is our third time being able to do it. Maybe tooting our horn a little bit after beating an 0-17 team that's there, even though we were on the road. I do love this picture from the game on Halloween. That is, it's a Lion fan, you know, sitting in the stands with a bag over his face and holding a sign that says, "This is not a costume." I like the girlfriend sitting there pointing at the sign to make sure that people realize that this is just being a Lion fan. And just right. When you can kind of get down on your team, you run across a team like the Lions and you're like, oh, well, things aren't so bad in Eagle Land. At least we're not those guys.
100%. And this is your boy Tubby here, back on a win, man. It feels really good to get a win. I don't care who we beat. I'm keeping my feet where they are. I'm staying in the moment, because that's the only way, man, to really have happiness, man. You know, my team is winning. I'm not going to be upset about it. I don't care who they beat. They beat another professional football team, way I see it.
That's true.
I don't feel sorry for that Detroit Lions fan, because they've been bad for a long time. So it's just who they are at this moment. Like you said, it's not a costume, but I definitely appreciate the win, because last time we were in that building together,
yeah,
Thanksgiving,
I remember that
bad memory. So
yeah,
you know, I even like the fact that we kind of wiped that out of my memory, and this is the memory I have with the Lions, even with Halloween and Thanksgiving, two separate holidays, if you will. Man, like I said, I'm keeping my feet where they are, and I'm going to appreciate this win 100%.
Definitely, that was 2015 that we went to that Thanksgiving Day game, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. Wow. It doesn't seem that long ago, but yeah, I would have much rather been at yesterday's game than I would have been at this one, because it was definitely the exact opposite of that Thanksgiving Day 2015, where they just got throttled. Mark Sanchez was the Eagles quarterback at the time, and it was a complete and utter disaster. It was kind of the downward turn of the Chip Kelly era, but yesterday was complete and an utter difference. It was a complete 180 from that. So just want to get to say, everybody, hey, welcome to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. We are here each and every week. This week, like I said, we're going to be doing a recap episode, and then we're going to do later on in the week, we're going to do a preview of our upcoming opponent, just so that we can do a nice focus on just the whether it's a win or a loss. And we're lucky enough to have a win. So we just want to say to everybody, thanks for listening. And if you are not a listener and you're watching us on one of the streaming providers like Twitch or YouTube Live or Facebook Live, you can find us on a lot of the podcast providers. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible. You can also find us on Stitcher. There's several others. So just go hit your favorite podcast provider and look for the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. And then hit subscribe, and then you'll always get notified when we have a new episode drop. We're also on Apple Music, so there's not too many places out there. And if you don't find us on one, you can send us an email. We'll try to get on there for us. Or you can just send us an email if you've got a question or comment or anything about the show. You can email us at lee.bird, that's BYRD.eaglesdare@gmail.com. So let's get into the recap of this game. I mean, going in, I had my reservations. We said last week that I thought, looking at the Lions' schedule and look at the games they lost, you know, they played Baltimore really close. They played the 49ers really close, and so did we. I thought that this was going to be a more even matchup. And I think at first it kind of was. I mean, the Lions crossed midfield on their first two possessions and were moving the ball fairly well, except for like the Eagles would get that one stop that they usually didn't get against other teams. They'd get a sack from Josh Sweat, or they would, you know, get something that would a holding penalty or something that would push the Lions back and then force a punt. So initially I thought, okay, here we go. Goff's moving them down the field, but it wasn't turning out the way other teams had handled us. And then on the flip side, we get our first possession and Devontae Smith drops a ball right on the 10-yard line that would have been a first down. We end up going three and out. So I'm just like, okay, I'm stealing myself for a long day at the beginning of the game. Then it just didn't happen. Things just flipped after the Lions' second possession. And then the Eagles got the ball and they turned the game over to Boston Scott. And I would actually say, and Jalen Reagor on that second drive where they had two Jalen Reagor reverses and then just several Boston Scott runs and even Jalen Hurts, you know, scrambling. And before you know it, they're on the board 7-0. So yeah, it was pretty, you know, it was a nice way to all of a sudden, hey, we're running the ball. Hey, this is right. New and without Miles
right.
Sanders.
Right. So yeah, man, I think when we talked about it pregame about Jordan Howard and Scott, just how many reps they were going to get. I didn't think Gainwell was going to be. That was the first noticeable thing in that first quarter, was that we weren't running Gainwell, but the running game was working. And also in that first quarter as well, they weren't getting those penalties that we would give up on a third down here and there. I don't think we got our first penalty until somewhere in the second quarter. So there were a lot of things that we've been asking our team to work on. One of them is penalties, and you didn't get one until the, you know, late in the second quarter. All of those things help as well, too. And that's a big difference. Like you said, yeah, you know, Goff and them came out. They were doing little things here and there. They couldn't get the run game going, which a lot of teams do against us early on, set the tempo. So it was like everything happened in reverse. With their weaknesses were, we actually exploited them this game. You know, getting to Goff, right? Goff gives up two sacks a game. We had that early. We had two sacks on Goff early. It was Sweat.
Yeah, Sweat.
And
two sacks right off the bat.
Right off the bat. Now, his average, and it was on those key third downs, just constantly putting the other team in tough third down situations and then executing on those third downs. So I really appreciate, and we were aggressive to come out with. Aggressive. Just the defense just looked aggressive, even though we were giving up what we usually give up, you know, 5 or 6 yards here or there with the pass. But I just thought overall, no penalties in that first quarter, and we were running the ball, two things that we just haven't done against other teams. So it did start to look a little different from the jump for us. I'm sure that inspired the defense even more, seeing that the offense was able to run the ball.
It was yeah, well, like you said, it was a combined effort that was so key. I know this was an 0-7 team, but we haven't seen the Eagles play like this all year. It seemed like after the Raiders game where they came out and they were, you know, subject to ridicule after the way they played and kind of let down in that game. And then going back to the Tampa Bay game, they're on a 2-game losing streak and people were picking, you know how the Eagles are when people are picking the other team. Mm-hmm. There are people all over, the prognosticators that be, were out there saying that the Lions were going to win this game. I even said it because my morale was low. I mean, I did not see happening what was going to happen. So for them to play like they did was outstanding. And you said something very key, the aggressiveness of the defense, especially when stopping the run, because a lot of teams have set the tone with us with their running backs getting the 5 yards a clip. And we've had a problem, and I've stated it before on the show, that our linebackers line up too far off the line of scrimmage to be able to stop the run effectively, because you can't count on your four down linemen to stop the run. You got to have those linebackers filling gaps. And this one, there was two things I noticed that the Eagles did on defense that I had not seen before. Number one was they were lining their linebackers up in the key gaps. And the man of the hour, or the man of the game for me, if you will, was TJ Edwards. Where the hell did he come from? And he was filling, it seemed like every time DeAndre Swift would see a gap or a hole to go through, TJ Edwards was there. He's going to be seeing TJ Edwards in his nightmares, because number 57 was all over the field, and I couldn't have been happier. And the second thing that I noticed was, and I don't want to give Gannon too much credit, because again, I want to pump the brakes on Gannon, but I will give him credit for changing it up. And did you notice that they were going to variations of a 3-4 at times in this game? where they were shifting Barnett almost out in a linebacker. So it was still 4-3, but they were shifting Barnett out wide, and then they had the other three linebackers lined up in a shift to the right, or they would do it the other way. So they were essentially creating this seven-man-in-the-box kind of dynamic that whenever the Lions tried to run, there was nowhere to go. They had every gap completely filled.
Yeah, Edwards, what he had, 13 tackles on the day?
Yeah.
Or something like that. He definitely had a double-digit tackles. He was all over the field, very noticeable.
Yeah, 13 tackles, 13 tackles, 8 solo, 2 tackles for loss. Just amazing day.
So very, very, very noticeable day. I just think everything worked from the run perspective. You know, everything worked. And we made tackles. You know, that was key for us, too. And I see Cash in the chat. Shout out to Cash in the Don't Sleep on the Couch podcast. But he said, I'm conflicted, fellas.
Yeah, this is a comment from Cash.
I don't know. I don't want this to be like last year, man, where towards the end of the season, they really left a bad taste in our mouth with shutting it down with the Hurts and Wentz situation and whether we beat Washington or not. I think we keep playing and see how good. It's the only way to know what type of coaching staff we have. It's the only way to know if Jalen Hurts is truly our starting quarterback. So I think we have so many things to work out that, man, I want to keep winning. You never know what can happen in the NFC. I mean, Dallas winning last night, that was not cool, but we don't know that until it happens. You know, you hope Dallas is down to 2 losses, but then it's still a 3-game gap with the Eagles. So, to answer you, I think we don't do well with our draft picks no matter where we get them, except for Devontae Smith. So if we're shutting it down for the draft, we can still mess that up. If you look at last week, why the league thinks we're in this position. But, I think we should keep going and see what we got from our coaching staff and from Jalen Hurts so we know where to go.
I agree. There have been a lot of rumors, like talking about Fletcher Cox being traded and a few other players. And I've actually seen people, and the one that really bothers me is the Miles Sanders talk. I mean, get real. I know he's hurt right now, and they think you can get draft capital for him. But if I know Howie Roseman, he'll get like a 4th-round pick. So I'm not even going to mess with the Miles Sanders thing. We've got a running back that we can build around. And he's hurt right now, but he will be back before you know it. So the thing is with this team right now, if you're looking at trading off key players, we've already got rid of Ertz. But that was because we knew he was going to be a free agent next year. I don't think it's time to dump Cox right now, although it could happen. And I mean, especially with the way Wilton Williams played on Sunday. I mean, it's just crazy the way that Sweat played, Williams played. You could possibly even move Cox. But I'm looking at it like this. We've got 3 potentially first-round draft picks, and it's looking more and more like that with the Colts giving us a first-rounder for Wentz. Because if they bench Wentz, then they're clearly only doing it to avoid giving up a first round pick. And that's whatever, you know, if that's going to happen, it's going to happen. But if he plays over 70% of the snaps for the Colts this year, then we get that pick. We get the Dolphins first pick. Dolphins don't look like they're going to win a lot of games. So we're going to get some top picks right there. And then it comes down to what the Eagles do and where they get. So potentially we could be picking 3 picks in the top 15. So right now, I don't know if it's a time to shut it down. In the schedule, the rest of the season looks pretty favorable as far as our opponents. If the Eagles can play like they did on Sunday against the Lions coming up the next 3 weeks, that's what's going to be key. And then I would say after those 3 weeks, then you can kind of address where they're at. I mean, the trade deadline's coming up. So if you don't trade anybody right now, then that's going to be a moot point. But then after that, you know, you can kind of assess where you want to be, if you're going to rest people or if you're going to just, you know, deal with it as it comes. But yeah, back to the game. It was, you know, 7-0 after the first quarter. And then Howard comes in, which we hadn't seen Jordan Howard in a little while, and was surprisingly effective as a 1-2 punch. I mean, I didn't see it. I didn't see that happening.
It was a breath of fresh air, because just to see a running back just run downhill with confidence was something that we haven't had all year. I was wondering why he stayed on the practice squad for so long. I don't know if it's them not be able to know what to do with Scott and Gainwell behind Sanders, but it seems like we've always needed Howard. When we talk about an earlier cast, man, we talk about designated runs. Howard is that running back for your designated runs, and Sanders can be your change of pace back. But I still don't think we gave Sanders enough reps when we should have. But yeah, just going into the game, man, you know, we just got the ball rolling. We got the ball back the second time. We just continued to put points on the board every single time we touched the ball for the rest of that half. You know, we had some letdowns. We're getting the field goals, but everything just kind of worked. The run game worked. Jalen was also, you know, get some incredible runs at times. We didn't need to pass the ball a lot because the run game was just working. So we just took – I did feel like we took what the Lions gave us, and it worked, man. It worked. I mean, like I said, we put points on the board for the rest of that half every time we got the ball.
Well, what was surprising for me was that like I said, the Lions would go across the 50 the first two possessions, and after that, the pressure took over. You had even Barnett getting in there. We've talked about Barnett not having a great season. Everybody on the defense's hair was on fire in that game. And then, it showed because they didn't blow them out right away. It gradually took place by wearing them down. And then the second quarter, I mean, we're only up 7-0, and then we get a big Barnett sack, force a punt. And then it was those runs, like you said. And we said it like since the beginning of the podcast, we've talked about looking at our backs and Sanders and Gainwell and Scott, like we didn't have that power guy that we needed around the goal line. So we thought, okay, down, and we saw in those first few games where the Eagles would need a running play within the 5-yard line around the goal line, and they do that crazy Hurts read option or that run option where they go side by side, and they were doing it even against the Lions, and it wasn't working again. But the difference was after that play failed, they turned the ball over to Scott or Howard, and boom, they're going down to the line and getting through the line and getting into the end zone, and that wasn't happening. And like you said about Hurts' runs, there was the one run, I think, in the second quarter where he put like three moves on the entire Lions defense and just tiptoed around everybody. Looked like Lamar Jackson out there. Mm-hmm. And there was several times that he put the team on his back with his feet, like the one where they get the ball on the 5-yard line and they had a third down. I think it was a 3rd and 7. And he just did a couple of dance moves and boom, was gone for the first down and then set the whole zone coming down the field. So it was definitely a lot of Hurts, not so much through the air, but he was commanding that offense as a field general and commanding it, you know, by controlling the running game. So, yeah, so after, like I said, we got Howard's touchdown, which made it 14-0, and then right before the end of the half, we get the field goal. And so they actually showed the stat, I think we got the field goal and then we got the Howard touchdown, but they showed the stat that the Eagles at that point had 127 yards rushing in the first half. I wouldn't have believed you if you'd have told me that that was going to be what they were going to have in the first half. I told you you're making stuff up because they haven't done that all year. Just run the ball that exclusively. I think the key though, coming toward the end of the first half that made a big difference going into the second half was that final Lions possession. Cause I was on the text with you and Gannon started to go to that prevent defense again. He was going to that shell defense, lining his defenders 5 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, ball snap, linebackers dropping back. They were trying to do that bend but don't break to keep Goff from getting something big. And again, when you play scared like that, you're going to lose. And the Lions are just marching. They're getting there was a key play that they had to Hockenson on a 3rd and 7 where everybody just backed up and Hockenson standing there on the sideline by himself. You know, they're coming up to try to make plays, but you're giving these receptions. And that was starting to worry me. I'm like, all right, we can't go back and regress. And then as soon as I texted it, I think one of the announcers said the same thing. All right, you've been playing aggressive D all game and it's been working for you. Why are you doing this soft coverage stuff? But then what ended up happening was the Lions had a 4th and inches with like 13 seconds to go in the half, where they could have gotten a field goal, made it 17-3, or they could have just ran the ball. They had a timeout, and instead, they line up in shotgun, and Goff's going to throw for it, and we get another key sack right there. I think that was, I'm pretty sure that
Williams.
Was Williams. That was the Milton Williams. And I was texting you like,
who?
Who's Milton Williams? And
he got there often, man. He shot out of there, man. I really like our defensive tackle, so. You know, to that point, you know, bringing up Williams, we got Williams, got Hargraves in there. Woo! Maybe you can let go of Fletch, for that young talent. But that just depends on if they stay healthy. And we got to understand that Fletcher Cox is still one of the best of them. So, you know, we don't want to give up on him yet. But if we can get 2-3 other guys for Fletch, why not? Because we have more holes, you know, would you give up Fletcher for a linebacker? I probably would, you know, if I'm honest. But a nice general back there, you know, hard hitter, something like Bradford, you know, something that we've had at least recently, Hicks, Bradford. I'll take any of those type of guys. Mm-hmm. Then we got Edwards stepping up. Edwards had that key block punt. Was that? Was it Carolina game? Edwards had the block. Yeah. He's had moments, but this was his game where he really stood out, where he was on the ball, made incredible tackles. And real quick, man, you know, I thought Jordan Howard was going to have a good game when he made that tackle on special teams, when he came up, laid the boom. This before he even got a carry. He came right up, and I said, who made that hit? Jordan Howard. He comes off the practice squad. He first makes a big play on special teams. I think it was on like a punt coverage or something, where their little short guy was about to get out on us, and he just came up, laid the boom. And then his run plays almost like it. To make that tackle set him up to run the ball as hard as he was running the ball, man. I don't know. Just something that I noticed. I said, man, Howard made that. I wonder how he's going to run. And he ran really well that day.
I don't know who said what to get this team as fired up as they were. I think it goes back to like the 2017 season when they were underdogs all the way and nobody gave a look their way. And I think when you start disrespecting a team by saying, hey, and I said it earlier, but that the 0-7 Lions are going to beat you on Halloween, you know, even though you're 3.5-point favorites going into their building, I think that that's part of it. I think that gets that team where they start to believe in themselves because they're all they've got. And that's the mentality that they had in 2017, was that no one likes us and we don't care. And I think that was key for this game because, you know, they go into half after that stop and it's 17-0, but it doesn't stop there. They come out of the break. And that was when Hurts had the 3rd and 12 on the goal line, and he ran for the first down, setting the tone. And then they, again, just kept going with run after run after run, and they get the touchdown, and then the turnover takes place. The fumble recovery. Avonte Maddox punching the ball out of Swift's gut, and then Slay picks it up, runs it back for a touchdown. Next thing you know, they're up 31-0.
31-0, and this is where I was like, whew, first thing I thought.
Actually, that was 38-0.
Eagles defense.
Sorry, let me back up. That was 38-0 when he did that, because Howard got his touchdown to make it 31, and then the fumble recovery. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
I remember the fumble recovery was two things. One, this game is over.
Yeah.
And that's good. Two, man, I really wish I picked up the Eagles defense before this game started. I kept looking at him, and I was like, man, but I didn't want to jinx him, really, man. I really just wanted to not. Man, they did everything I thought they were going to do to Goff, too, man. Goff gives up just as many sacks as Jalen did. Man, if we can get to Goff. And our guys really stepped up. Our line stepped up. But, yeah, man. But it's just come from pressure. And it was fitting that Slay got that touchdown back in his old stadium where we got him from. Yeah, man. But shutting down Swift was a key factor throughout this entire game. You get Jamal Williams a scratch right before the game. Didn't even know Williams was going to be out. So we're looking for that 1-2 punch at running back. And when they only had Swift, just nothing. He couldn't get going, so nothing got going.
Yeah, it was an amazing game. But like you said, we the Lions had a few moments, but nothing spectacular. And when they did, it was kind of funny. They were getting the same treatment that we were getting. They had the big play to Amon-Ra, St. Brown, for like 20 yards down the sideline, and then boom, they get a legal formation penalty. They get another big play downfield to like Swift or something like that. And they get a holding call. And it was like they were doing what bad teams do and what we had been doing earlier in the season. And then their fans were giving them, you know, the boot. I mean, the boos were loud at the end of the half. And that's kind of like you said earlier, it was a flip on what we'd experienced all year round.
Absolutely. And I appreciate it. And like I said, I'm keeping my feet where they are, third time saying it, because, you know, it didn't matter if it was Detroit. It was just nice to see my team up 38-0, third quarter. Their team is getting booed. You know, life is good. I text you. I said, now we can put in Gardner Minshew, you know, towards the end of the third quarter. Now, you know, if we're going to see him, let's see him now, because let's pull Jalen now. It's 38-0. I was surprised they had Jared Goff in that long.
Right.
To be honest with you. Yeah, man. But again, because our run game and Jordan Howard in that third quarter, because it was really out of hand. End of the third quarter, it was done. I mean, after the fumble recovery for touchdown, like you mentioned, you know, the game was kind of over. So to have Jordan Howard kind of just churn, he's that big back and he's hitting them. They're down 38-0. You know, he's not tackling game well, and Sanders small back. You got to hit Howard. that wants to hit you. And I was like, man, I really think that this is a running back we need going forward. That's just a good change of pace and change of tempo, because I believe our offensive line is set up for running backs like Howard that hit you in your face right off the line. Kelsey, you know, Mailata, especially like a rugby player, Mailata, you know, he's still learning every day how to pass defend. But run defend is very natural to him. Get the person in front of you. Same thing with Lane Johnson. He's getting older, so a lot of these guys, they like to go forward versus backwards, you know, and it helps them, you know, get the young guys on, and it just sets the tempo when they can punish. But they need a running back that can complement how they block. And I think Jordan Howard, experience, his pace, and his tenacity and how he runs the ball, I think it fits. I think that's why the Eagles keep bringing him back, because he fits our scheme. He fits our line. And I think the guys know that, man. I don't know. It was just a breath of fresh air. And Boston Scott ran well as well, too. But I just think something about Jordan Howard getting those, when he was getting 5-6 yard clips, I was like, they're in trouble. They're in trouble, because our line is doing what lines have done to us, especially like Dallas, where they was just pushing us all the way down the line. And, you know, that's what you've seen from us, man. Just getting hat on the hat, pushing the Lions down the, you know, and I just appreciate it. Like, I just appreciate everything about it, man. So this is a good. So what, our third away win? All our wins have come away.
I think so. Yeah. We were at Atlanta and then Carolina. So yeah, maybe we should just play on the road the rest of the year. I don't know.
We're 0-5 at home right now. And I just think it goes back to all that pressure that they seem like. They just seem like they just play comfortable on the road. Man, our line plays better. Now, we have played bad teams, to be fair.
I thought our schedule has been fairly brutal. I mean, Atlanta is Atlanta. You know, we can't do that. But we've, you know, San Francisco was really tough, and we lost that one in a heartbreaker. Kansas City, Tampa Bay. And now we're coming into this kind of middle of the road schedule before we get into more weaker teams. So this is an opportunity. I think that one of the things that can't be said enough is what you just said, is you got to give the offensive line some props. It was nice to have Lane Johnson back in there again for another week after his issues with depression, anxiety. I don't know if you caught the story they did on him on Fox.
Yeah.
So that was, it was interesting to hear his story and to see that he's reaching out and that he's doing better, because I know that Brooks has struggled with these type of issues. And he's had to miss time before. It's just regular injury. Like during the playoffs in 2018, he actually went out, and then the whole 2019, he was out of the lineup because of depression and anxiety. So it's nice that these guys are working toward getting on there. And then we see this is becoming a common theme in the NFL, because we saw Calvin Ridley's now saying he's walking away from the Falcons for a little bit to deal with these type of issues. So maybe it sets up some sort of support group to where these players can play on Sundays and that they can focus on football and not worry so much about that, the judgmental side of things, and about the anxiety that comes with playing in these type of situations, because it can be crippling for some. And Lane is such a key part of that offensive line, and we need him on the field, and not just because we're being selfish and we want to win games. We need him for him to do well as an Eagle. It'll improve his morale. And so yeah, can't give him enough credit. The line played outstanding against the Lions. We can only hope it's that way going forward. So let's take a quick look at the stats from the game. This was the one that was interesting. Jalen Hurts passing numbers, 9 of 14 for 103 yards. Now, any other game, you give me those numbers and say that's what we're going to get, I'm going to be furious. We went over it last week when we talked about his halftime numbers being under 100 yards. This time he was barely over 100 yards for the game. But then you go down to his, you know, he had 71 yards rushing, but key runs. And then you look at the rest of the running numbers. When you have Gainwell in there, Howard, Scott, everybody had, you know, Gainwell or Howard and Scott only had roughly around 60 yards apiece, but total 236 yards rushing, which is the key of what won that game for them.
On 46 carries, which is what we've been asking, you know, to DSC podcast chiming in. Yeah, man, I hope this does give them more confidence to stick with the run. You know, why not? Why not? If you can run the ball 46 times, 236 yards, 5 yards a clip for 4 touchdowns, and they had a lot of 8-9 yard pops, and you see the longs for all of them. You know, for Hurts, 21, Scott, 19, you know, 10, 8, Gainwell, even Rager had 11 yard run. So there's something to it. You know, You know, Eagles fans, we all can't be crazy. If we're asking for the run, that's because it's important. It just goes back to what I truly believe. Our line is set up more for run blocking with Maialata, Lane Johnson, Travis Kelce. Not Travis Kelce.
Wish we had Travis Kelce, but Jason Kelce. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, Jason Kelce. So, yeah, man, I think if we come out next game and we aren't running the ball, because I don't really know what much to say about this game, really, you know, as far as, you know, we pounded them, you know. Sure, they got a late touchdown. We ran the ball like we've always been asking, but our defense played well. Five sacks.
Yeah.
Five sacks. I know we haven't gotten to the offensive stacks, but five sacks.
Yeah.
45 yards from our defense is huge, man. Five sacks, you know.
The defense,
so I think that just gets the guys going.
We talked about Edwards with 13 tackles, but Epps had 9. You know, you had Taylor, again, another linebacker with 5 tackles, 3 solo. But then, yeah, Jackson had a sack. Barnett, Ridgeway had a sack, 2 from Sweat and 1 from Williams, which was just amazing time. On the Lions side of the ball, Jared Goff, 25-34 for 222, a 6.5-yard average, and a 17.6 QBR, which is unbelievable. Look at the rushing numbers for the Lions there. That's what we were talking about. With DeAndre Swift having 12 carries for 27 yards at a 2.3 yards per carry average. That is crazy. And then held the Lions as a team to 57 yards rushing. I wish we could get that every week. Now, we're not going to play the Lions every week. They have offensive line struggles. But if we can be somewhere in that neighborhood, it can only get better from here.
Yeah, Jared Goff with a QBR 17.6.
Sheesh. I know. It's insane. And then look at this right here. For the first time all season, we held the time of possession. We won the time of possession battle with those runs. We've been saying it all year. You run, you win the time of possession. You win the time of possession. You keep the other team off the field, prevent them from scoring, and you win. You can win the game by winning the time of possession battle. It's so huge.
When you had one penalty per half. Penalty a half. One in the second quarter, and I think the next one came in the third quarter. But even that, 2 penalties for 15 yards. Just the mental mistakes, you know.
Yeah, it was huge.
That we stopped doing. And I think that, I think we did a lot of things right in this game, man. I think we made it extremely hard for Goff. I mean, 5 sacks. I mean, our defense, you know, a lot of third down sacks mainly, you know, just not giving up those free plays on third down like we've been, with unsportsmanlike conduct, things like that. So between no or low penalties, you know, like I said, 1 came in at the end of that quarter and then 1 in each half, you're not even hurting yourself. So you're running the ball well, playing good defense, and you're not hurting yourself. You should beat a lot of teams off those principles.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't take always a spectacular game from Hurts. When, as you can see, you know, and when he did run, because he wasn't, because the ball was distributed well, like I said, 12, 12, and 13 amongst the other running backs. You know, that's thank you. You know, take some of this workload off of me. Like, you're literally snapping the ball and saying, Jalen, runner pass every single down. That's just not good, man. But, you know, one thing I will notice is that Smith, you know, he's been having some drops here and there a game. He'll have, you know, the Slim Reaper is not known for dropping the ball, but he's had some drops. So, it's not really a concern right now, but, you know, just going forward, I noticed on those slants, I don't know if it's because he's only 175 pounds, and he's like, you know, kind of like DeSean Jackson, like, I don't really want to go across the middle, but I will if I have to, because on the outside routes, he does really well. Another thing that Hurts just, you know, did well in that game, he hit Goddard for a couple of those, you know, 15 to 20-yard passes in between. Remember those intermediate throws? He was hitting to Goddard. Boom, he found Goddard in that pocket a few times to extend the drive. Or so between hitting the throws, you know, that we needed him to hit, except for that one, I think it was like 1 on 4th down, where he kind of stepped out. The whole play was goofy. We kind of got bailed out because he stepped out, and it was an eligible man downfield, but because he had already went out. But it was open players on that
right,
as well, too, that we got to get the ball to. But I can't kill him because, you know, 70 yards, and he has some really impressive runs that extended the drive. And just, we just didn't have those letdown penalties, man.
Yeah, Goddard
didn't really let down his penalties.
Goddard is really loving being the single tight end right now because he had 71 yards of the Jalen Hurts 103 passing yards. And that play you mentioned, yeah, it was right. He stepped out of bounds, but then they got a holding call on the defense on Lions anyway. Set him up for a touchdown, which was huge. So Goddard had a great game, and I think that if Jalen is finding Goddard, it just means good things for the offense going forward. Again, passing numbers don't look good, but you win a game like that, you don't really look at where the passing yards are. You want to win the game, and you're dominant in fashion. So, you know, we'll see how it comes coming up next week, how they play, if this is just because the question you got to ask.
You even said when you text me, we may not. All right, we were talking about if Gainwell should go out the wide receiver, and you were like, they may not need to pass the ball.
I did say that because that's what it seemed like. I'm like, the way they're running right now, why stop? Mm-hmm. Why mix it up if it's working? If you're running 5 yards a carry at minimum, why get away from that until the Lions stop you? And that's what I think they did. And that was finally some smart work by the coach. And that leads us to our meme of the week, which I love this meme. It's a nice certificate for Nick Sirianni that he can hang up in his locker or over his office. It's suitable for framing. And it just says, congratulations, Nick Sirianni, on learning how to run the football. You did it. With a nice star. I love this. I may even frame this and put it up in my office somewhere. But yeah, this is how simple it is. It is how simple it is. You know, and if you get stopped on the run, you keep going to it. You don't get away from it just because you get stopped on one play. That's the thing. And I think a lot of coaches struggle with that, is if your running back is not getting the ground he needs to, they bail on the run very early. I mean, you know, our favorite coach, Andy Reid, did it a lot. He was known for bailing on the run, you know, early on if it wasn't working. But you can't bail on it completely, and Nick didn't. He's finally there. You know, we see some things going on. Yeah, it's an 0-7 team, but we've got a lot to look forward to if they can learn from their issues. And that's the thing that concerned me the most, was going forward when after the Raider game and the Tampa Bay game, it looked like they were just doing the same old things and they weren't changing anything up on offense or defense. This game was not the case. Everything looked different, and that led to success. And that's all you can hope for as a team. We'll see where it goes from here. You know, we're smiling because it's a victory. You know, it's better than most weeks.
Absolutely.
So it is what it is. So we're gonna go forward and enjoy it. So before we go, I want to talk about this because we can't leave Nick completely off the hook. There was a thing that happened this past week at the press conference after the Raiders loss. Did you see this where Nick talked about what's going on with the team, about the growth of a team? Did you see this? If you didn't, I'm going to play it for you.
Yeah, man. he's a horticulture specialist. He went horticulture on us.
He did. So I'm going to show a little clip from Nick Sirianni's press conference, and that'll lead us into our second segment of the week.
It's got to be a message that I have to keep everybody together and to keep everybody. It's that together and keep everybody sticking to the what we really want to do. And that's like, I kind of what I said to the team today, Howard, is that I said, right, that you know, the results aren't there right now, but what's going on here is that there's growth under the soil. I put a picture of a flower up, right, and that it's coming through the ground, and the roots are growing out, and the roots are continuing to grow out. And everybody wants to see results. Shoot, nobody wants to see results more than us, right? We want to see results too. But it's really important that the foundation is being built and that the roots are growing out. And the only way the roots grow out every single day and they grow stronger and they grow better is if that we all put we all water, we all fertilize, we all do our part. Each individual coach, each individual player, everybody in the building, that we do our part to water, to make sure that when it does pop out, it really pops out and it grows. And so that was my message today. And so like I said to you guys before, I'm always thinking of different messages to give to the team, that either messages that I think that really fit the situation.
Yeah, it goes on from there. And so that leads us into one of my favorite segments of the week, and that's
Hell to the no, 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 no. Hell no, no, to the no, no.
Hell to the no, no.
Hell to the no, no. Hell to the no, no.
I'm just saying it's hell to the naw, and that's exactly what I think about Nick Sirianni's press conference.
Yeah, man.
So this is the illustration of our hell to the naw for this week, and it's got an image of Will Smith in the flower costume for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and it just shows Jalen Hurts at practice today. I love it. Yeah, man. I think I said
you are my sunshine. My sunshine. That was a classic episode.
Yeah,
man.
It was.
That was a classic. You know, when I heard that Nick Sirianni interview, it was the tell me you smoked the bowl before your press conference without telling me you smoked the bowl before your press conference. Bro, that was the highest shit I've ever seen from a coach. I mean, he's trippy. He's pretty trippy. You know, that guy's, I appreciate his thought behind it. And I get what he's trying to say, but most coaches say, you know, we've laid down the foundation, you know, concrete, structures, stuff like that. He's talking about roots and flowers and
metaphors aren't his strong suit. Metaphors aren't his strong point at this point in his coaching career. It's we're being hard on him. A lot of the press has just slammed him, especially coming off of a loss, and this is what he's saying. So it's kind of hard, you know, kicking him after a win, but we didn't have this last week, so I wasn't going to let this slide. Right. We had to discuss this because we hadn't had a chance to, because it happened after our podcast last week, and I said, oh, no, that's not happening. And so the thing is like we get what he's trying to say. He's laying a foundation, like you said, but the whole plant analogy, I can just imagine what those players must have thought. Because that's the thing that threw me about the whole statement was the players, when he says that he had a picture of a flower. So it wasn't just a metaphor. It was show and tell. He was showing. You
know, he brought in props.
This is.
Yeah, props, bro. He brought in props. These players are like, what's the assistant coach doing? And he's setting up flowers. And they're like, but you know, at this point, they're probably used to him. At this point, this is probably nothing compared to what he said during training camp, OTAs, and just meetings in between, you know.
Yeah.
Like a quirky dude.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, we've talked about the relationship between him and the players. And I think that, you know, because they're rookies, you know, him and Gannon both, is the players are dealing with this, you know, week to week type thing. And I hope that this win brings them a little bit closer so that their flowers can grow. But I hope it brings them together to where they you know, this kind of stuff is just, it's just Nick Sirianni being Nick, and they can just come together and start putting together some wins. We need a win streak to go on building off of what happened. So yeah, we're going to talk about that as our Hail to the Naw segment and his thing about being a flower. But overall, we're extremely happy with the way they performed against the team that they lost. To the Lions, if they lost, man, he would not have been welcome back in Philadelphia. That as soon as that plane landed,
not at all.
There would have been pitchforks and torches at the airport waiting for that team, not for the team, but for Nick Sirianni coming off that plane, because he was feeling a lot of heat, and they responded. Mm-hmm. So good for them. We're gonna channel this into some momentum, and hopefully going forward that we can do some good things. So coming up on, we're going to cover this on Wednesday. We're going to cover the upcoming game against the Chargers. A 4-3 team coming in off of a 2-game losing streak. They ended up losing again to the Patriots this past weekend. So they're not happy. And the Eagles are riding high. So we got a 4-3 team versus a 3-5 team. We are at home, need to get a home win. So we are going to talk about this. If you want to come back, we will be here on YouTube Live and on Twitch, as well as Facebook Live on Wednesday afternoon. And then the podcast, we'll have it on our podcast providers the following day. So again, we want to say check us out on those platforms. And you can also check us out on those podcast platforms like Amazon Music, Audible, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Tunes, Castro Podcast. We're on everything now. So no excuse. Go and find us. Go and subscribe. We'll get notified when we have a new episode, and we'll try to keep you your spirits up as we go through a up and down season with our favorite team. So that's what's coming up. We're pretty happy right now, aren't we? Right now.
I am, man. I am. You know, the Lions have played a lot of teams really close this year. So, they played some of the best teams really close. So I appreciate this win. Good to go 3-5. It's better than 2-6. And the Boo Birds out. So looking forward to the rest of the season, man, just to see what type of team we have. Man, keep coming back, checking us out every week, man. We're going to be here. Much content as possible.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's not going to be boring. We've already figured that out going 8 games in, that this is not going to be a boring season. This is going to, we're going to have a lot to talk about over the next few weeks. So join us again on Wednesday and on your podcast providers on Thursday. And with that, I'll give it over to Tubby for some final words.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll see you Wednesday.